grandfather tell me how it was when you were young? Was the world so very old when your life had just begun? Oh, grandfather, tell me, is it true you worked the land? And the tools that you used, you made with your own hands. Before time was only money and machines made man a slave. Was the world all milk and honey before all the streets were paved?
Good afternoon and welcome to Living Permaculture on KDNK. I'm Vanessa Harmony of Colorado Edible Forest Nursery and Consulting in Glenwood Springs, Colorado. On today's episode, we'll hear the second part of my interview with Callie Marin, a licensed professional counselor specializing in mindfulness and nature-based therapy. Callie offers her therapy and counseling through her private practice and through Boulder Community Health, where she leads a nature-based intensive outpatient program. We'll pick up where we left off last month, talking about Callie's journey to utilizing nature as a model for healing. It's a little late to be timely for Halloween and Dia de los Muertos, but as you'll see, we'll delve into the themes of death and fear and their role in nature.
I spent some time in school while I was going to Naropa working in elder care, and that was really powerful for me to be present with some elders and their families through the end of life process and during death. It's another thing that feels very natural, and every human is going to die, and everyone, we know is going to die, and every living thing dies, which is a fact that I think, along with that disconnection from nature that we have in this culture, we've kind of tried to ignore or we've forgotten about. So when it starts happening to us or our loved ones, a lot of people get really kind of blindsided by that. So yeah, I do a lot of work with death and dying, whether that's working with elders or younger folks who have gotten a diagnosis or a loved one is dying, or people who are supporting loved ones. And that's a special interest that I have. I also lead death cafes in Boulder at the library once a month with a colleague of mine. They're free events where people can just come and talk about death, and we have tea and cookies or cake, and those are really great way to get in touch with our own selves as nature. It's very connective to talk with strangers about death, and all ages of folks usually come to those. Sometimes they're offered in the Roaring Fork Valley as well. Just Google them.
Yeah. And yeah, we have a little bit of ceremony when it comes to death, but maybe that's something our culture has lost some touch with. And are there any examples from the natural world of types of death ceremonies?
That's an interesting question. Well, I mean, something I always think of is how when a tree dies in the forest, there's already been so much life living on that tree for probably the whole life of the tree, from the time it sprouted. There's lichens and moss and fungi and bacteria living on that tree in the bark, and there's insects. And there's maybe squirrels or, little creatures living on that tree. And so when the tree itself actually dies, there's sort of this continuation of life where that tree starts, maybe a dead tree is even a habitat for more creatures than it was as it was alive. I know when you've broken a dead decaying tree trunk in the forest, there's like so many bugs and little things crawling around in there, turning that tree material back into soil and feeding new life. And so I think about that with humans, like, what is the continuation of life when one human dies? And how is that person living on in the memories that their loved ones have of them, or good deeds that they've done for their community, or things they've left behind, like art or children? And I think taking some of those lessons from nature can really help us see the bigger picture and see the interconnectedness. And like, yes, of course, death is always going to be sad, and grief is the natural part of death. And none of this is to like bypass the grief of losing someone. And what is growing? What is being born or composted or fed by that death? So it's not, it's kind of like connecting us to all life. Like, everything's going to die. And that makes me feel kind of comforted, at least, that I'm not alone in that.
Right. And even the rich, healthy soil that we rely on for our agriculture is based on dead organisms, dead and dying, and predatory organisms that are constantly eating each other and dying and getting recycled. So from the very foundation, mm-hmm. death is an important part of our makeup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And like, how did we get from that, which I would imagine the previous iterations of human culture were a lot more connected to death. They would have known that decaying and decomposing living matter, or previously living matter, makes soil and brings new life, and they would have been exposed to death in their villages or tribes or whatever, to where we are now, where we basically, most of us, just walk around pretending we're not going to die and pretending no one we love is going to die.
On our plate didn't die.
yeah, exactly. And never really seeing like the realities of death and being so scared of it, mm-hmm. because there's, again, that sense of the unknown. We're just pushing all of these discomforts away, and they're not going away. They're just creeping up on us in really uncomfortable, more uncomfortable ways than if we were just facing them. So, yeah, I think we really need to come back to this idea of nature as teacher and ourselves as nature, and I really appreciate there's a lot of work in this realm. I know your business, Vanessa, is bringing this ecosystem, sense of ecosystem, back into humans' backyards and front yards, and maybe inside their houses, and connecting us back with our food systems.
That's right. Yeah. Part of my company's motto is to nurture nature, and that's by providing habitat for natural organisms, but also to nurture our own connection to nature, which in many cases is lost. And how does your work with teens, how is that going these days? And what is your sense of nature connectedness in teens?
You know, I'm worried about the teens. I really am. I will say most of the teens I've worked with have been through Pathways at the hospital, so they're 18, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you think about how old they were when COVID happened and the schools closed down for a year and they weren't really engaged with their peers, or, you know, many of them weren't. We were discouraged from going outside. Obviously, there's also a big epidemic of screen time, social media, and there's just so many facets to that. I mean, one, there's the piece of where we're comparing ourselves to all these celebrities and people who are presenting like their lives as just being very perfect. And then there's the actual act of sitting there looking at a screen for hours on end, really not knowing what you might, you know, what might come through the screen at you.
Right.
There's a lot of violence, a lot of misinformation. Screens are not a calming tool for our nervous systems. If you actually have like an Apple Watch or something that like tracks your nervous system state, typically you'll see a spike in your sympathetic nervous system, which is that stress response. When you're looking at screens, our brains are not used to things changing so quickly. For the most part, nature is fairly slow, aside from natural disasters and, you know, these kind of big, fast, intense events, which wouldn't be that common for us to experience in past versions of societies. So I think that all of that is really affecting the attention span, the confidence, the self-esteem, the ability to form organic connections in teens and younger folks. Yeah, it's really scary.
And
it
then
really
all the AI reliance nowadays, too, is also very concerning.
Yeah. So we need to get back to nature. And one of the cool things is this concept of biophilia, which I actually first learned about from Jerome. But this same instinct of ours that like knows to be afraid of snakes and spiders and cliff edges also knows that nature is what supports us and nature is what we survived in for tens of thousands of years as a species. And we know how to interact with nature instinctively. So we really just have to get outside, start letting our nervous systems settle, and the connections will happen. And we see that happening. It's kind of a hard transition because when you're going from social media, especially TikTok, I think is the worst because those videos are like 5 or 10 seconds long and your brain is just constantly getting this like new dopamine rush over and over again. And so when you go out in nature, it might seem kind of boring at first. You're like, what am I supposed to do here? What am I supposed to look at? And it just takes your nervous system a little bit to slow down, and especially if you're living in kind of a fight or flight mode, which many of us are because of how fast our society is, and you know, we have this constant pressure to be productive, be doing something, be getting better or faster or making more money or getting more things. So stepping outside into a forest or a plain or any kind of nature, even your front or backyard, or even connecting with a house plant, you start to get invited into that slowing down. And it might take getting over that hump of like, oh, this is boring, what am I supposed to do? I'm not getting that constant dopamine hit, and I'm feeling uncertain now and uncomfortable. Sitting with that discomfort a little bit, slowing down, feeling the sun on your skin, feeling the wind, listening to the birds, it really does start to shift things for us. And it actually allows insights and new ideas to come. And if you think about our ancestors, they would have been in that slow silence of nature so often, and they would have been so intimate with that. And it's something that we can handle and that I really think we should.
Have any of your clients or patients have come to pursue or consider pursuing different careers because of their time in therapy?
A lot of our clients do realize during their 2 months of the program that they need to slow down, that they can't keep pushing themselves in their careers. And interestingly, we do get a lot of folks who have had quite high-powered careers where their entire sense of purpose and sense of self has gone into climbing that career ladder, which is only sustainable for so long. Or maybe I don't even think it's sustainable. It's like always going to slowly deplete you until you have nothing left to give. And so, yeah, I mean, that's something we should actually track. But just anecdotally, I would say at least a quarter to a third of the people who go through our program end up realizing they need to change jobs or set some stronger boundaries for themselves. Some people do decide they want to be therapists, which is really beautiful because I think we all have a lot of healing potential. And like sometimes I've had the thought that if we still had these kind of, you know, tribal communities where people were really close to each other and close to nature, like I don't think we would need therapists because we would be vulnerable with each other. And we would also be able to sit with discomfort and maybe like ask like the river what to do with our grief or with our insecurities. And that's a great thing to do. The river or any body of water or any part of nature at all just has so many healing answers for us. Yeah, but I think a lot of people do have wake-up calls and they decide to change their lives and they know that they need to spend more time in nature. And I think through getting that experience as part of the group, they start to see it as less of an obligation or like an exercise routine and more of a self-care routine where they're giving themselves space, they're inviting gentleness, they're inviting slowness. And these are all the things that nature teaches us.
I haven't decided if I think if society is going to continue advancing the way it is. Are we going to find better ways to cope and add nature into our lives and add more nature-based occupations and lifestyles, or are we going to be counting on some sort of collapse to give us that opportunity for the nature connection?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? It's so up in the air right now. I think it could really go either direction. I do definitely think that it is collapsing now, though. Like, we've gone on just about as far as we can without that nature connection, and it's starting to catch up with us, and the system is starting to break, and people are starting to break, and all the answers are right outside our door, but we just need to slow down enough to listen.
Right. And when I took, it was a course with Dave Jackie called Teaching Permaculture Creatively, I was taken aback and like surprised at the beginning that Dave Jackie really emphasized fear, even as part of getting selected to participate in the class. He called each one of us individually, and we had to like identify what was our deepest, darkest fear and spend some time contemplating that. But his rationale was that fear is a really important and useful tool for us to navigate our lives. And if you spend your life avoiding what you're afraid of, then you're missing out on that opportunity for that really important information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really important point. And I think our society is very, like, comfort-oriented. And we're always trying to, like, make sure we have enough and make sure we're not cold or, you know, outside of our comfort zone. And we don't really learn how strong we are if we always stay in that comfort zone and we don't know how much we can grow. I mean, we have to be kind of in that growth edge where we're a little bit uncomfortable and a little bit afraid in order to grow and kind of see the next horizon and gain those new perspectives on life.
It'll only be as scary the first time, and the next time it won't be as scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that it's okay to be scared, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's a natural, I think even this is a concept from biology, maybe, that life seeks pleasure and avoids pain, which makes sense instinctively. But it can kind of start hurting us when it gets to an extreme. And what's cool is that a lot of, well, I'll say all, at least mental pain, emotional pain, has a message for us. And we're not going to learn that message if we're avoiding that feeling of pain. Kind of paradoxically, we have to turn towards the scary emotions that feel uncomfortable. And then we can maybe start to learn something about them, learn what they're trying to tell us. Kind of like spiders. Like, I think for most people, when they start learning more about spiders and which ones are poisonous and also like what their lifestyles are like, they stop having so much fear. And that's how everything is.
Well, I appreciated that when you and I overlapped when I was living at Crimpy from 2016 to 2019, that you were still in your career transition, pondering what career path to take, and that you tried different things on for size, so to speak, until you found what really fit. So I'm so pleased that you have found your true calling and are helping others to heal through nature.
Thank you, Vanessa. Yeah, it was a big journey to figure out what felt good as a career path for me and what felt meaningful and doable and also financially sustainable. And that's, you know, another piece of making sure that we're like a plant, like we need to have all our needs met. And I feel very grateful to be doing this work and learning so much from nature and learning so much from all of these amazing humans that I get to work with. And we all have our own special bits of wisdom, and we all have our own challenges. And I think following the lead of nature, we can turn toward those challenges and understand them and work with them and really utilize that resiliency that we as living things have, because we will always be experiencing hardships as living things. All living things have periods of discomfort. And yeah, that's how we adapt and grow, and it's a beautiful process. It made all of this biodiversity that we see today.
Well, I was going to give you an opportunity to share some closing words of reflection or inspiration, but that was very inspirational.
Oh, good.
So if anybody listening would like to connect with you either for scheduling an appointment or learning more about your offerings or even your death cafes, how do you recommend they get in touch with you?
Mm-hmm. I would say probably email me at callie.marin@gmail.com. That's callie.marin@gmail.com. Happy to share any mental health resources, death resources. I do see clients in my office in Boulder and also online anywhere in Colorado. But yeah, reach out.
Well, Callie, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, healing individuals through nature, to join us today.
Thanks, Vanessa. Really appreciate the invitation, and it's nice talking to you.
Thank you also to our listeners for joining us today. I'm your host, Vanessa Harmony, of Colorado Edible Forest Nursery and Consulting in Glenwood Springs, Colorado. You can find my contact info at coloradoedibleforest.com. Tune in next month on KDNK on the third Monday of the month at 4 p.m. for another episode of Living Permaculture. We'll talk to you then.